immigration status is irrelevant to eligibility to participate in B2I, and thus each of the consolidated appellants were or still is eligible for B2I. And this is true for three reasons. First, the plain language of the B2I Act clearly shows the legislature's intent to include and support youth in this program regardless of immigration status. Second, B2I is categorically exempted from the limitations on immigrants' abilities to receive public benefits within PERORA and LB 403. And lastly, the regulations that appellees relied upon in denying their applications was unconstitutionally promulgated and thus cannot be relied upon. So first, it is very clear the plain language of the B2I Act shows the legislature did not intend for non-qualified aliens to not be in this program. When it passed the B2I Act, what it did was extended the age that youth in Nebraska could be eligible to participate in Nebraska's foster care program from age 19 to 21. The supports and services provided in this program are substantively the same as they are in Nebraska's under 19 program. The delivery is just altered to match the unique needs of a 19 to 21-year-old. So 4345.04 sets forth the eligibility requirements to participate in this program. Notably absent from those are any immigration status requirements, citizenship status requirements, or any deference to PERORA or LB 403. But what the legislature did exclusively choose to include was 4345.05 subsection 3, which is a non-exhaustive list of supports and services included within B2I. Importantly, subsection 3 says assistance in applying for special immigrant juvenile status, or SIJS. Your Honor, it is...
What was the SIJ status of these parties when the application was made?
When each of the appellants applied, they had pending applications for special immigrant juvenile statuses. Each of them now have special immigrant juvenile status, but for the purposes of PERORA and appellee's rules, both of those are considered non-qualified aliens for the purposes of those limitations. So it's, again, like I just said, undisputed that special immigrant juvenile status is a non-qualified alien status, meaning only non-qualified aliens can apply for that status, and subsection H could only possibly apply to non-qualified aliens. How could the legislature have included for non-qualified aliens to not be in the program if they exclusively and explicitly said that this service and support would be provided in B2I?
Don't we have to consider LB 403, particularly in light of LB 403's use of the phrase, notwithstanding any other provision of law?
Absolutely, and it's appellant's position, and we have never taken the position contrary to the district court that the B2I Act cannot be read with LB 403 or should not be read with LB 403 or PERORA. In fact, appellant's position is it falls under exceptions within PERORA and within LB 403, and those two exceptions would be the in-kind services necessary for protection of life and safety, which is in both PERORA and LB 403, and secondly, there was an affirmative provision by this legislature within the meaning of PERORA, and that would be the 4345.05, subsection 3, subsection H that we were just talking about. And it's important to remind this court that that is a non-exhaustive list of supports and services in B2I, meaning more supports and services can be offered, but the legislature felt that these services were so important to list because they were so fundamental to B2I and so representative of B2I, they had to take the time to list them. So there would be no question that these supports and services would be provided to these youth under B2I, and that includes a support and service that only non-qualified aliens could be eligible to receive. Again, this court has the obligation per its own precedent to not find a part of a statute meaningless or superfluous if possible. Appellee's interpretation and addition of an immigration status requirement would render 4345.05.3 subsection H meaningless and superfluous. Appellee's only asserted way to make subsection H is plainly erroneous, contrasted with consolidated appellants, telling this court two logical and supported ways to read subsection H to have meaning and be read with LB 403 and PERORA. Appellee's asserted way to make subsection H make sense is to say that this immigration support can be provided to a youth before or outside of B2I, but with all due respect, that shows a fundamental misunderstanding of the foster care system. If a youth is aged out of the under 19 foster care system but is not in B2I, their foster care case is closed. The department no longer has a legal relationship with this youth to give them case management services like immigration assistance, but more importantly, the juvenile court's jurisdiction is closed. There's no pending court case for a court to make these necessary findings to give this youth SIJ status. And while department's interpretation of their own rules is given deference, that's not true and plainly erroneous, which is clear here because, again, that situation is simply not possible in the realm of Nebraska's foster care system. And it's important to go back to one of those points. If a juvenile court's jurisdiction is terminated, or if these youth are not allowed in B2I, their ability to receive SIJ status is cut off. They need juvenile court jurisdiction to have a juvenile court make these findings necessary for them to achieve this status.
Hadn't that already been done by the time these applications were filed?
Correct, but that is not true for all youth. Again, a youth's GAL or their attorney, whether it be immigration or their foster care attorney, has to move for the court to make these findings, and that does not always happen when the youth is in under 19 foster care. Sometimes their only chance for this to happen is when, if they were to have the option to be in over 19 foster care from 19 to 21, which is again, the only time a juvenile court would have jurisdiction over a youth is if they were in the foster care system, whether the under 19 foster care system or the over 19 foster care system. But once that jurisdiction is cut off or once they are outside of the foster care system, a court can no longer make those necessary findings for them.
Does your argument depend on us finding that these are in-kind services under 4-110?
It does not depend on that, Your Honor, but that is our primary position. So we are asserting that...
What's the alternative? Assume we disagree on that. What's the alternative?
The alternative argument is that the legislature did include an affirmative provision within the B2I Act, within the meanings of Perora. And again, that would be 43-4505-3 subsection H. Nebraska...
I just want to make sure I understand this. Sure. The affirmative act, that goes back to whether it's permitted under Perora, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
But doesn't 4-108 say, notwithstanding any other provision of law, no public benefits to persons not lawfully present in Nebraska?
Correct, but Perora doesn't just cover federal benefits, it also covers state and local benefits. And in its definition of public benefits, that would include federal foster care benefits, which would cover the things that youth are receiving in under 19 foster care and also B2I.
But Nebraska could choose to be more restrictive than Perora if it chose, couldn't it?
Correct, Your Honor, but again, there are federal benefits that are at issue here as well as state foster care benefits, and it is our position that Perora would apply to those federal benefits, like the federal foster care maintenance payment, or other things that could be included within that, those federal provisions of federal foster care benefits, which happens in under 19 foster care as well as the B2I program.
If the legislature has, in another instance, explicitly determined that Perora doesn't apply in section 4-111, right? So they know how to do it. They know how to write an exception when they want to, but they didn't do that here. How do we get around that?
Your Honor, appellants would respectfully disagree. We believe there's no other way to be more explicit than 43-4503 subsection H. They said, here's a support and service that's only available to special immigrant juvenile status, words explicitly used in the statute. SIJ status is a non-qualified alien status.
Well, there's a way to be more explicit. They were more explicit in 4-111.
Sure, but other jurisdictions that have interpreted Perora said there is no requirement that they have to specifically name that exception within Perora, that they have to use specific language, or that there are any technical language requirements to meet that. All that is required is there is a positive and unambiguous granting of a benefit to non-qualified alien youth. We have that here because they extended a support and service explicitly and unambiguously unavailable to anyone else besides non-qualified aliens.
But the only, even if we were to agree that H is an extension, it doesn't apply to your clients, does it? They already had or were in the process of receiving SJI, or SIJ. There wasn't anything more for the state to do in that regard, was there?
Your Honor, I see my time is out. May I answer a question?
You may.
Thank you. Yes, Your Honor, but there are other youths that could be in the extended foster care program and that need these supports and services, including the immigration assistance and assistance in applying for SIJS. And also, there are more steps that have to be taken after they receive SIJ status to achieve that lawful permanent residency status that the department would be helping them with. So getting SIJ status is not the end of the road for these youth and having complete protection under immigration law.
Are your clients seeking other benefits provided by YABI other than the assistance with applying for SIJ status?
Absolutely. B2I is a bundle of services just like under 19 foster care. They would be seeking the case management. They would be seeking the support with finding appropriate housing, employment, vocational services, any of those that they need. If they're in the B2I program, they are entitled to receive that bundle of services just like they received in under 19 foster care. I see my time is out. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. Mr. Gilbride, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Ryan Gilbride. I am an Assistant Attorney General with the State of Nebraska. I represent the appellees in this matter. The Bridge to Independence program does not affirmatively provide for non-qualified aliens to be eligible for public benefits. These appeals do not require a complex analysis of immigration law. On pages 5 and 6 of the three orders at issue in this case from the district court clearly identified the question that's presented. Does the Bridge to Independence Act affirmatively provide for appellant's eligibility? The answer is no.
Is there any reason why someone who's lawfully present would apply for SIJ status?
I don't think so.
So what do we make of the fact then that among the services listed in the Bridge to Independence program is assistance with providing with applications for SIJ status?
Well, I agree that that is part of the act, but I think that what you make of it is that's part of the act under case management services, which is a discretionary part. The language of that act says that if such assistance is appropriate. So I think that that gives the Department of Health and Human Services.
But under your position, it would never be appropriate.
Well, I think that the way the department interprets that, the legislature gave the department the right to promulgate regulations to enforce the act, would be to assist individuals who are in foster care, and maybe they're 18 and a half years old, and they're getting to the point where they might be eligible for the program, to assist them, and they have the discretion to do that, and they promulgate a regulation that would allow them to do that.
But it's listed under services that would be provided under the Bridge to Independence Act, which is for those who are 19 and over, correct?
Yes, it applies to young adults, Your Honor. You're correct. So, but the way that the department would interpret that is it's discretionary due to the fact that it says if such assistance is appropriate.
They gave them discretion to do something that they would never need to do.
Well, I think when you look at that portion, Your Honor, it also says, and other immigration services to assist their adjustment status. So I think under that, they could also assist someone with becoming fully documented as well. But at the end of the day, Your Honor, I don't think that that provision gets the appellants to the full array of services to be eligible for the Bridge to Independence program, because that, and I agree with the district court on this point, that part of the statutory scheme is under potential services, under case management that might be available. It's not under the eligibility prong in the act. So I don't think that for the appellants to say that that provision of that statute discussing possible case management that may result in a change of immigration status would result in the appellant reaching the eligibility door, if you will, and getting through that door into the full array of Bridge to Independence programs.
As I hear your argument, you're saying H is superfluous.
Well, you have to be 19 years old to be eligible, Your Honor.
For an individual who's over 19, here's a list of services, but here's a list of services that are available, but they're never really available. I'm trying to follow you.
It's discretionary. I think that the statute states if such assistance is appropriate, and the entity that would determine if that assistance is appropriate or not, Your Honor, would be the department. Not every single one of those services listed in that statute would be appropriate for every person that's eligible.
But that's a different comment, because this is one of those things that the statute says this is available. Is that what it means?
I take it
it's an available service for no one?
Well, it is potentially available in the discretion of the department, because it says if such assistance is appropriate, if the person is eligible, and if they've agreed. One of the factors in participation in the program is that the young adult has to agree to participate. So, but when we get to whether or not this provision makes these appellants eligible to participate in the program, I think that's going too far. Even if the department were to assist a young adult in this fashion, the young adult would still have to meet all the requirements, including the immigration status requirement. You still would have to be a United States citizen.
Assuming that's a requirement.
Well, that is a requirement, and that goes to another part of my argument, Your Honor. And you were discussing the statute that was passed prior to the Bridge to Independence Act. That statute states, it's the Nebraska Revised Statute 4-108. It generally provides no state agency shall provide public benefits to a person not lawfully present in the United States. I think by passing that statute before passing the Bridge to Independence Act, the legislature must be presumed to know that that limitation applied. And that limitation complies with federal law. Generally speaking, under federal law, the appellants would not be eligible to participate in the program because they are not United States citizens.
Is another view of the existence of FERWORA, that's the 2009 statute, right?
Yes.
Its existence is known to the legislature in, 2013? And finish the sentence. There's two options. It's going to limit what we say, or we're going to go beyond it by putting in H.
Well, I think that they have to affirmatively provide for these appellants to be eligible, because they would have had to have affirmatively provide in a state law that U.S. citizenship or qualified alien status, they would go more than that. The legislature could have simply passed a law that said non-citizens are eligible for Bridge to Independence benefits. But that's not what happened here. I agree with the district court that we're inferring something that the federal law requires be affirmative. It has to have an express statement with deliberate and positive intent from the legislature that all benefits of this program would be available to non-qualified
aliens. Is the administrative code .003, is it .02, is that treated as law, as a statute?
Well, I think there's case law, Your Honor, that states that when it has been passed and probably promulgated, that it has the effect of statutory law.
And that there's an enabling statute, and then administrative people told to go out and make rules.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
And I would like to address the argument regarding in-kind services. The Bridge to Independence program is not an in-kind service under federal law. The United States Attorney General has not specified that the Bridge to Independence program is an exempt in-kind service program, and that would be required under federal law. I would also state that that argument was not presented to the district court below in the petition for review. And so I don't think that argument is currently before the Nebraska Supreme Court under the case Skaggs v. Nebraska State Patrol.
I think I recall in opposing counsel's reply brief that they contend that the Attorney General has approved. Can you respond to that argument if you recall it?
I can, Your Honor. I reviewed that part of the reply brief, and I looked at the I would call it an Attorney General, United States Attorney General opinion that wasn't offered to the district court. I don't think that under the Administrative Procedure Act, that opinion can be considered because it's not law. I don't think the court was asked to take judicial notice of that. And furthermore, I just don't think that that opinion states that the Bridge to Independence program specifically is an in-kind service. And if there's no specific finding from the United States Attorney General that an in-kind, that this is, program is an in-kind service, I just don't think that there is enough authority for that to be found, and I don't think that argument was properly presented to the district court for the district court to decide, or for that matter, Your Honor, at the administrative level. If there are not any other questions, thank you. I request that the Nebraska Supreme Court affirm the decisions of the district court in these matters. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? There apparently is no time for rebuttal. We will go on to the next case of the day then, which is JS versus Health and Human Services.